With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
We're back on Steelers Touch Down Under. I'm Matt Peverell, joined by my co-host, as always, Marky D, Marky Davison. Mark, just to cap that off with the dunce, Jeffrey Benedict contributes in the live chat. Akello with a spoon, four snaps, 61 yards, and a TD given up. Yeah.
Oh, that was almost looks like he's like playing receiver.
we would be very happy with that contribution on the receiving side.
Four snaps, 61 yards, and a TD. Oh, given up. Oh, okay.
He's pretty fast and he's pretty tall. You know what?
Yep.
This is it. I figured it out, right? I know Jeff, Jeff Hartman asked the question a lot during one of his Let's Ride shows this week. He asked a lot about Akello with the spoon and why the Steelers got him. And, you know, the Steelers, you know, swung massively and missed massively. They didn't. This is all part of the Kevin Colbert, Mike Tomlin master plan. Juju's out. They've got a 6'2", whatever he is, you know, cornerback who, you know, can read the play. I think he's got a 4.43, you know, 40 or something like that. Let's make him a wide receiver.
Put him in, coach. Put him in.
At this point, could there be a worse stat line? I don't know. Right?
I don't know.
Anyway.
You know what? I'm going to defend him for this one little bit. We're all ragging him out. Give him time. What if he comes out this week or next week and has an amazing game for two interceptions? Then we have to hold our, you know, we have to take it all back.
No, we don't.
We don't have to? All right. Well, I'm not saying
it'll
anything.
Be a one-hit wonder. It'll be like MC Hammer.
Well, I'm not saying this yet because, you know, he gave up the one play and, yeah, fair enough, he's not getting the helmet and stuff. But, you know, Witherspoon's
a cool
name.
Time out. Jeffrey Benedict contributes in the live chat. Then he truly could be Deontay Moncrief.
Didn't the Deontay Moncrief, that one catch, hit him in the helmet? Was that right? Is it the Charger game or something? Mason threw him that ball when he went to catch it, hit him right in the head. Like
the
got him
sad
a falcon.
The sad thing is that Deontay Moncrief isn't, like, before he joined the Steelers, was not actually that bad a wide receiver. Like, I don't know what was going on, and, you know, who knows what was going on in his personal life or what have you, but I just... Yeah, I can't believe how badly that went. Was all I'm gonna say.
Yeah,
like
true.
That was just bad. classic. All right, let's move on to slinging the sling. Just as Big Ben likes to sling the rock and slung it better last week, we like to sling the slang. Marky D, what have you got for the listeners this week? Do you have mine's, words? What have you got?
Mine's easy this week. As I looked outside today, there's a bluebird sky. I don't know. I wanted to find out today if, in Australia we say, bluebird sky. I wanted to find out if that is really Australian slang, or is that slang bluebird sky, or, you don't really say it like that, but is that American slang as well? I don't know. So I really wanted to go a different angle, and I thought it's a really nice day outside today. It's a, bluebird sky. It's awesome out there.
Well, we usually say it as well when it's skiing, like it's a bluebird day because it's like, sunny and really good snow and like, you're not having to battle the elements and what have you there. We also use bluebird sometimes in some business perspective where you get a bluebird when, you're signing a massive contract in a quarter. So your sales team kicks it off really well. So yeah, interesting that no one's heard of bluebird days. But yeah, if you're a skier or what have you, or even if you live somewhere where it snows, those days when it's beautifully sunny and, just the sun's glistening off the snow and it's not like horrible conditions. Yeah, that's how I usually, or people around me usually use bluebird.
Jeff says here, Jeff from Barnes Walker, no blue skies, but no birds. There's no birds near you, Jeff. What's going on? Not one bird? Come on, mate. What are you doing? Maybe so bluebird, like that must be an Australian slang thing, because people are saying it's not, they've never heard the term, which is we must have so many, Maddie. We must have so many that we're not even thought about just yet.
That's it. Well, for this week, I had a bit of Australian saying, kind of fits with me, over the past week. And it also, it kind of fits with the Steelers, and that's come good. Right. So come good means to recover well, or, come back pretty well. And, I think the Steelers came back and turned out well. I've come back and hopefully I'm turning out well. I'll let the listeners be the judge of that one. But yeah, I just thought she's, as they say, she's come good.
Yeah. I like that.
Or if you're liking horse racing and they come around the corner and they're starting to hit the straight and take the lead, they're coming good. So I know that's not the best, from a grammatical perspective. We do say, something's come good in Australia.
I say that a lot. It's kind of like when something really bad has happened with, she'll be right kind of like atmosphere.
Yeah, exactly. When she'll be right. She's come good. How often?
Yeah, she's come good. Like it just means that, something super bad can happen to you, like your car's on fire or something, and then someone put it out and you're like, oh, she's come good. It's all right. A lot of our things are like, it's like, stuff happens to us in that saying too. Stuff happens to us. And we always just think of the other side. We think so positively, like, oh, she'll be okay. It's fine. Like you fall over and you're like, oh, you bang your toe. And someone goes, didn't you break your toe 3 weeks? Oh, yeah, she's come good now. It's all right. Like we just don't care. We just move on. Just keep going.
And it's really interesting. I've seen a comment in the live chat that this gets demonetized in the US. And like I think people are taking the different connotation with that phrase.
Oh, nah, come on. It's like, it's 2 a.m.
Do you know what's so funny, right? You know what's so funny is that, like, you look at American media and what have you, and, like, things like nudity and what have you are so frowned upon. But then, like, the language that's in some things and what gets away with, like, your music videos and stuff like that. I find this stuff, I think everyone just keep a PG. Like, keep a PG. See you in me. That's what I'm going
to
say.
To keep it PG, there are certain words that the Americans say about like rooting for a team.
Like when Dad does his rooting guide each week, I sit there and have a chuckle to myself.
That means completely different to me for what we say. So don't go down that route with us. Okay, we could if we wanted.
That they call the middle. In the back of your car, Mark, and you've got the middle seat, and in front of it, there's the little divider between the two leg spaces for legroom.
Hmm.
Yeah, they call that the hump.
Well, even similar, I've got a mate who calls the back seat, right, in the car, the dicky seat. I should be allowed to say that, hopefully. It's called the, I don't want to say it again, but that's what it's called.
Well, it's we have a model of car down here called Commodore. And, I had an uncle that used to call them the Condomador.
Yeah, look, the American guys, there are some things that you guys say that we just laugh at and go, hang on, that means completely different to what we would say. I think we're walking on a tightrope.
We are. We're walking the fine line. But look, let's go to the super chat we've got, because we've got a lot to crack through in this last half hour of the show, and we're almost 10 minutes into it. But Felicia throws $10 in the tip jar. Thank you very much, Felicia. She says, "Here's to buying a few beers to my favorite M&Ms." We love that, Felicia. Hard on the outside and sweet on the inside. And hopefully that's what the Steelers are as well. And truly nuts for the Steelers like me. Here we go, Steelers. Oh, that's awesome, Felicia.
How good's that? And I love M&Ms. M&Ms are great. I had this old adage when I used to, when I was overseas, right? And I used to go, hike all the mountains, and I was in Canada. I had to take with me, I took with me M&Ms, because what better way to sit back on a mountain slinging beers and eating M&M Krispies on top of a mountain? That was my thing that I did.
I must admit, M&Ms are one thing I miss. I can't have them with the dietary issue that I have that you know about, Mark, and I suffer from it. And then also as a kid even as an adult and you go to America, you guys have those M&M factories and you can get all the different colors and how much fun that is as well. We don't have that in Australia, so that's pretty cool. But look, let's move on to the Seattle Seahawks. Mark, before I get into my sort of bits, what are you looking out for in this game? And I think let's talk about it from a team perspective, and then let's go into the usual. We've always got two players or two things to watch from each team.
I'm looking out for two things.
Yep.
Firstly, number one, you got to stop the run from Pete Carroll's team. Pete Carroll loves to run the football, except in big occasions where they throw the football and they lose. You should have run that ball, Seahawks. What are you doing? Why did you throw that ball? Second and two. All you had to do was hand off to Marshawn Lynch for a game winner, and you threw the ball and the game away. But, however, Pete Carroll does love to run the football. So I'm interested to see what Alex Collins can do. I believe Collins was from the Ravens, because the other bloke, Chris Carson, is that his name?
Yeah, Chris Carson,
He's a really good running back too. So you have another situation where you haven't got the starter there in the Seahawks team. So take advantage, take care of business, and stop the run. If we do our punts later, I might do a prediction for that. But you've got to stop that run because Seahawks football is around that. They're going to do play action pass. They're going to use Geno like that. They're going to run Geno with a bit of wildcat or whatever. Or he's going to scramble. And they're going to run this football because that's really their offense. And depending if the DK Metcalf is, if he's out or Tyler Lockett,
I think Metcalf is eligible, because I know Just Me brings it up. I thought I had seen that he is eligible.
I'm not sure, but that's number part one. And part two is Geno Smith hasn't started a game in 4 years. He's 12-19 as a career starter. He's a 9-year veteran. Just take care of business, mate. Just win. You just got to beat him. What else? If I had, how good a pump up talk is that? Hey, TJ Watt, just win. It's Geno Smith, mate. He's an average quarterback. I'll be very shocked. In our survival, the BTSC Survivor League, I'm choosing the Steelers this week. And if we lose, I'll be filthy, because Geno Smith's going to go down there and rock 3 touchdowns on us.
I'm interested how filthy you are. I was pretty filthy when I got knocked out on the Titans losing to the Jets. That was not a good time to be around. that was a bad time.
That just shouldn't happen.
I completely agree with you. I think for me, a couple of things that I'm looking at is when the Steelers and the Seahawks are very similar. When both teams rush for more than 100 yards, and Dave talked about this brilliantly on these stats, if they hadn't have, if Jesse James had been, well, he did catch that ball, if that had been ruled correct, and if you add in the draw, the Steelers would be almost 40 games where if they've run for 100 yards, they've won the game. The Seahawks, where they've rushed for over 100 this season, they tend to win. When they don't, they tend to lose. They've got an average defense. And I think one of the things I'm looking out for is the Steelers' ability to run the football, because the Seahawks have actually only allowed a season low of 113 yards on opposing teams and a season high of 212 yards. So the O-line can put it together this week. I'm excited for what we can do. And you've seen that translate to first downs. So the Steelers, this season have had a high of 21 first downs, which I'm pretty sure was last week, right? They're usually getting 17. They had 17 in two games, 19 in one game, 16 in another. But the Seahawks, on the flip side, have allowed a minimum of 23 first downs for the opposing offense, you know, in yep. 23 first downs in two games, 24 in another, 28 in another, and 33 in the other game. So for the Steelers this week, if you're sitting there and you're watching this game develop, particularly in the second and the third quarter, if the Steelers are going to win this game, regardless of what the score is looking like, you want to see the Steelers be getting first downs regularly. And realistically, that's going to have to come from the run. And we saw that shift, you know, to more running last week. If you see that this week, particularly through that third quarter, as I said, regardless of what that score looks like, and obviously it's going to be closer, otherwise we're going to be throwing the football, you know, but whether we're ahead or behind, that's going to show you where we're going to get some momentum. So the Steelers, for me, really need to capitalize on those two things, getting first downs, because the Seattle Seahawks defense is not very good at that. They're allowing a minimum of, you know, 350 yards almost from their opposing, you know, the opposing team's offense each game. But equally, you want to see them do that by making significant run gains as well.
Yeah, I agree. And the a lot of these Seattle defense are really backing Geno Smith as well. They're saying, well, you know, we do like his play, but we need to step up. Bobby Wagner is the kind of the guy that, you know, is going to be hard to run against. But you're correct. The Seattle defense at the moment is 32nd in the league. And a big part of their, you know, you think we're in trouble with our Steelers franchise. The big part of the Seahawks franchise is Russell Wilson, and he's out. His fingers Gonski's. So, you know, this is, and the running back number one, Carson, I think you have, is it Alex Collins? I'm not too sure how I rate Alex Collins. Maybe he's a bit like Snell. I don't know. He played with the Ravens. He did a few things.
Is anyone as bad as Snell?
Yeah, true. Why did I say that? There's the other guy, Homer, like he's a third down kind of guy, like gets out on the screens and that kind of stuff. Yeah. It's going to depend on putting pressure on Geno, which we have to, any quarterback. And like, yeah, you just have to let Geno beat us, like play outstanding, and you can't give him a gimme game. And this will be a hard game to watch and really feel as if, like, played so well last week, and then if we go down early, like for a 10-0 and we're playing really sloppy football, it just can't happen like that. You got to do the fundamentals. We have to start getting first downs. And, you know, we are who they thought they were. We have to take care of business with the Seahawks. And it's just... this game, I'm all in this game. I'm not saying a blowout, but I think you have to win. Like, this is the one where you need to win. You know, versus Packers last week, sure, it's 50-50 or Packers were better. This game, it's an injured Seahawks team, and we don't know if Metcalf is playing. You've got to step up, and this is the one that I think they can, and put some star points on, you know, get the stats going up a bit. Where's your mate Highsmith been? Like, you know, what's going on with that?
Yeah, and one thing I would say that when you're looking out for this as well is Philip Dorsett's not done a lot this season, or I think he's done virtually nothing for the Seahawks. Watch him. If Metcalf's playing, watch Lockett. Everyone focused on Lockett and Metcalf, and look at Geno Smith hit him. I think Dorsett's up for a big game for this team, you know, for the Seahawks side of things. But yeah, you talk about, and I think this goes into our punts of the week almost, but you talk about, you know, Highsmith. Highsmith needs to step up this game. But I actually think the pressure is more on TJ. TJ, you signed that big contract. This is the game you need a couple of sacks, a forced fumble, you know, get that turnover that shifts momentum in this game at a key point in time or on a second or third down, you know, or as they're driving into, you know, your red zone, 30 yards, et cetera, field goal range. So I actually think TJ also needs to step up. But TJ can't be doing it all, as you rightly said. You know, no. Highsmith needs to step up as well. I think you also want... you know, Ingram coming in and putting pressure.
I was just gonna say,
you just want to have this wave, this constant horde. Like, it needs to be Lord of the Rings, orcs, you know, like going over the wall kind of thing. You just want to see those ladders, more guys coming over. Doesn't matter how many arrows you fire at them, they're just going to keep coming.
Is
back
that Lord of the Rings? I'm not a big
the
fan
two
of
the towers.
Number two,
Helm's
tower.
Deep. The Battle of Helm's Deep. I love that one. You know when they're on that, you know, on the ramp that's like the drawbridge, and they all three of them they get in and you know, Orlando Bloom's like surfing on the shield and the dwarf guy's hanging off the bat with his axe. Oh, that's
a, yeah, that's a fun, you know, a lot of the Lord of the Rings can be a bit like stale and a bit like, you know, the one part about the Lord of the Rings I hated the most when I was watching it was the number three where it took him about 45 minutes to drop the ring. And you're like, mate, just drop it. Just drop it now. Like, what are you doing? Just hurry up and get rid of it.
I'll tell you a funny thing about that. I went to the movies to watch that one and I needed to go to the toilet. And you know how they all go for like 3 hours? And I needed to go to the toilet with about 40 minutes to go. And I was like, oh, I can hold on here. And then they're getting about 20 minutes to go. I'm like, they're not wrapping this up in 3 hours.
No, I was the same. I sat
there for like another 45 minutes. Like,
I was exactly the same. I had to go to the restroom as well, or to the dunny. And I was like, can you, Frodo, man, like you're 4 feet away. Just, you know, sink it like a Kobe shot, sink it. And then like the game's over. Like, you had to draw that out. And then he throw, they give the ring, and then he goes back to like Gandalf's house for coffee for like 2 hours. Like, it's just like, man, what are you doing to us? Like, we had to go to, they must have known that everyone had to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, that's right. They're complete savages. But look, listeners, you did not expect to get a rant about the Lord of the Rings franchise in a minute and a half. But that's what it is. The other thing for me is pun of the week. Let's get into this. I want to quickly get to some audience Q&A. But pun of the week for me, you know, there are bold predictions, as we like to say. A punt in Australia means a gamble. You know, it started off with some Jordan Berry kicks and, you know, it's hard to make any claims about them. But, you know, we've moved on from that, from when we kicked off as a show, you know, over a year ago now, almost 18 months. But for me, Pat Freiermuth, TD, I think Kennedy uses him smart. Whether he gets a heap of receptions or heap of yardage, doesn't matter. I think he's going to get a lovely red zone TD. And I'm feeling like, you know, maybe those jet sweeps, but I think it's more likely to be a nice catch, high jump, over the middle.
Over
the middle. Come in, they're probably going to be 6 or 7 out from the line. He's going to cut in, you know, maybe fend someone off. Jump up there, high catch, beautiful touchdown. Maybe it's the second touchdown of the game as well, toward the back end or the middle of the second quarter. That's just what I'm feeling.
Also, too, if they're running the ball really well and, you know, Bobby Wagner and the linebackers come in, to they pull the linebackers in as well. Bobby Wagner's a good player, but if he commits to the run, it doesn't matter if you do an RPO or play action, and then the next minute, Freiermuth, whoever he versus on the third corner, I don't even know who that is, doesn't matter. His size, he needs to get in this game, and it's a Sunday night game as well. It's a big game, a big spectacle. So I can see big things from him. My pun of the week this week is going on defense. I believe you have to get the running game less than 75 yards. Actually, no, 70 yards. Like, no more than 70 yards running. Should I go further than that? Should we go 50? Was that too much?
I think it's it's up to you. I sort of it's your pun of the week, but I think they're gonna get 70 on this team.
I'm
missing Alualu, and
we'll go right in the middle, 60, less than 65 yards rushing by the Seahawks, because they're gonna rush it, they can't get anywhere, then they're gonna go to Geno Smith to try and move the football, and they're gonna get into the run game or the receiving game, and hopefully they're down by points by then. So less than 65 yards, I think our defense will show up, and they need to stop the run so the Seahawks feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. And look, while everyone gets their questions ready in the live chat, because we're now going to go to audience Q&A, I think one thing I'd also say is that I think the Steelers need to step up and limit the passing yards. You know, Geno Smith can't throw for over 220. If he throws for under 220, I think they're going to be really hard-pressed to win this game. So... but look, we'd love to answer any questions in the live chat. We usually got a few, but Mark, yep. I'm going to ask you another question. I asked you earlier around is, you know, who's having a better season, DJ or Claypool? Same on the cornerback position. I'm going to throw you an absolute doozy of a question. Is Sutton exceeding the expectations for him this season, or is James Pierre exceeding the expectations? They might be exceeding the expectations, but who is exceeding their expectations more?
I would say Pierre, James Pierre.
Okay.
Yeah, just because he, you know, he made some plays where he ran down that, Williams guy from the running back. That was a good play.
Javonte.
Great player. He saved us a touchdown there. And he's fighting back, like he's making mistakes, but then he's getting the interception and he's coming back with a game game-clinching win, you know. So, but I want to ask you this question before we get some other ones. Will, what's happening? What do you think of Joe Hayden's play so far?
Oh, I think he's like, when he's out, you miss him. I think this whole defense, you know, we talk a lot last year about when Devin Bush goes out and they struggle with the sacks, and then Bud Dupree goes out and they really struggle. And I think this season, like, not having Tuitt, like, you know how big a fan I am of Tuitt, right? You know, like, I love Tuitt. I think that you got to think about the flow-on effect that had. Like, you got to think of the offense and defense, right?
Yeah.
If you're missing a center, or you're missing, you know, a key tackle, or the quarterback, and you start listing a tight end, you know, less so much tight end, but a wide receiver, you start listing on a running back, there's some core players that you need. And you can go through it and argue for why every player is important. But there are some core players that you need. And you know, the defensive side of the football, right? And you look at what Haywood does and what's able to do, and whoever's in that, you know, right side, you know, outside linebacker position. And like the integral nature of Tuitt, and then, you know, to have him missing, and then have Alualu missing, that has a flow-on effect for the rest of the defense, because then you need other people to step up. And so I think the piece for me with Hayden is that, you know, obviously the way the secondary has to move now to create pass rush, to shut down things in the box, alters the way everyone plays. I think he's having a fantastic season. Like, and I heard the rumor that the Cowboys were after him. He's going to try to test the market. I personally think he's having a great season. I just, you know, you might not have seen the interceptions that you might have hoped for yet, you know, and I only think he's potentially one short there, you know, from what you'd expect. I think he's having a good season, but I think as it's like what we say with Minka, when you're in the secondary, there's a lot of things that you don't see that don't show up on the stat sheet that are really important to think about. So, you know, he's allowing a much higher quarterback rating than he traditionally does this season, of like 121 versus like the last few years with Pittsburgh, where it's been like 72, 66.5, 75.9, you know. But he's also allowing a lot less air yards this season through the four games that he's played. He's allowing a high completion rating, but he's also playing, you know, a lot shorter depth of target. The only thing for me that I would say that I have noticed, and now I've seen it, I've been able to pull up the stat for it, he's missed almost 20% of his tackles.
Right.
I do worry about that. But then, like, of all the tackles that you miss, you need to go back and have a look at why you're missing them, and why are you not. Like, you know, are you being put in a compromising position? You're trying to do too much. What are you doing that's outside of what you should be? You know, have they thrown a shifty on you? Whatever it is. So, yeah, I guess my answer to your question is I'm not like, oh my God, Joe Hayden, but I'm not sitting there going, you're a Kelly Witherspoon, because he's not.
I feel the same with Joe Hayden. I think he's got, you know, he's a great player. He's just having a very average few games, and he can always turn it around. I wanted to quickly answer this one from Portner Coenda. Yeah. He says, Mark, are all the barbershops in Sydney still closed due to the coronavirus? I'll answer that question with this statement. I won't be cutting my hair until Benny Snell gets over 100 yards. That's hands down.
Wild and woolly.
Nah, I'm only joking.
Short says, Mark and Nata Mark, how close do you follow the NFL as a whole? Any thoughts on the Raider email scandal? Any impact you think possibly for our Steelers? There's so many emails not showing yet.
I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole.
All I'll say is that the... the language that is expressed across those emails is not acceptable to me personally, whether it's now or a decade or really at any given time. I think I'm a little bit more concerned about, well, not more concerned, but I'm interested to see what's handled out of what was going on with the Washington football team and that cheerleading scandal. That, to me, is very concerning. The other thing that's concerning is the piece around Adam Schefter and the editing of some of those articles. Now, look, a lot of journalists in any field work with media teams, you know, of an organization or a politician or a brand or whatever, to make sure they get facts right. There's no error there. The issue for me as well is why wasn't this handled before, right? The NFL is an organization that made, I think a couple of years ago, I'll just go to the stat that I saw, an $8 billion profit, right? Or had a revenue of $8 billion. That's more than a lot of organizations. And in a lot of organizations, they're monitoring this stuff. How do we get here? That's the question for me. The other thing I think is, if anyone's got a right to say on anything, it's players that have played with him, coaches that have coached with him. Carl Joseph had nothing but positive things to say. I'd love to know what Carl Nassib thinks of this. Also, people can change in what that they in what they find and what they learn from experiences as well. And I think that's one thing. You know, we talk about football players and adapting to change on the field. You need to adapt to change in life. There are things that you need to look at constantly. But what I would say is that, like, let it be dealt with. You know, it's affected. And actually, the interesting insight that I'll give that I don't hear many people talk about, when I was listening to Move the Sticks this week with Bucky Brooks and Daniel Jeremiah, they talked about the impact that something like this has on the families of the coaches that have come in with Gruden, on those families of coaches that may be forced to leave now as a new regime comes in, and the kids that this affects. You know, when Gruden put together his coaching staff, he pulled people from everywhere. So all I would say is think about the impact that would have on the Steelers coaching staff, the Steelers organization, if things came out. Now, you've asked a question there, Sean Manahan, as to whether there's things that involve the Steelers. Who knows? I hope that we come out clean from all of this. But I think it's things will roll out the way they roll out.
Just one thing in any case with emails in general. I remember one time when I sent an email to my boss, but I tagged every single person in it. Have you ever done that by accident?
No, but all of us need to be careful about, what I would say is before you continue this story, Mark, is like email is something, sometimes you're better off picking up the phone because in email, things can be taken out of context.
Yeah, I had a problem with the boss, and it was a me and her issue kind of thing. I got sent an email about something, some issue at work, and then I expressed my views and my passion in this email, and I didn't realize that the email was sent to every single staff member and her, and then she was like, Mark, I like your view, and I understand you have a problem. But why did you have to send it to 80 staff? And I went, what do you mean? And I CC'd accidentally everyone, like, somehow, which was great. And then everyone's at work was like, hey, Mark, nice email. And I was like, how do you know? And they were tagged in it. So you got to be careful,
I also hate when people do that too. Like, they ask you for something they might be late for, and they tag you all your bosses in there. And it's like, hang on, you don't know the full story. I don't like that. People try that one on.
I just thought it was going to my HR boss, and we had this discussion about the problem, and yet it went to every single person, and then the whole staff and everyone at the club was like, we appreciate your thoughts, Mark. And I'm like, how do you know?
Brian says, does anyone know if Tua is ready to return? No. The biggest marker is has he been like the activation and the 21 days off the IR, and that hasn't happened yet. Felicia, I'm going to be mad as hell to see Benny Snell break out to be a beast when his rookie contract is over and get paid. That's so true.
He just got to step up. If he's number two for us, he needs to have a game. The next few games, he really has to do something.
Brian Brown says he's convinced Benny Snell is dirt on someone. How else is he still on the roster? Yeah, he's sent the good old Dan McCullough's sent him the good old picks. There have some of the coaching guys, the coaching staff. Wish they could have kept Connor as the backup. Not impressed. I don't know, but Connor didn't want to be the backup. Like, I like the idea of giving Najee the room to do what he needs to do. I think that helps in that confidence. I think Najee would be a professional about it anyway, but I think it allows Najee just to do
but
his thing.
Before we start to end, Maddie, is Ed Mac coming back this week, or is he waiting till next week?
I was trying to pull that up. I think they're going to wait for him.
For the Browns game. Here we go. Yeah. Oh, I can't get cooked. I'm so excited for that Browns game too. Oh, unreal.
Oh, man.
Can't wait. Brad Jewett. Matchmaker.
Brad Jewett says, my dad wants to know why Highsmith hasn't had his coming out party this year. I would say that, let's think about this, like, it's been five games, you know, he struggled as well. I think it was, what, did he miss two games or was it one game? You know, I think with Highsmith too, you know, you're going to have your ups, you're going to have your downs on these sorts of things. And look at the steals as a whole. Isn't it like we've got like 10 sacks on the season? That's not steals football.
No, we're not playing how we normally play in that role, I guess.
Yeah. So I just temper the feel of him not living up to expectations is probably the best way to say it. I'm not sure if we've got any final questions to wrap up the show. You know, Brian says, you know, everyone is all about McFarland. He hasn't done anything positive for the Steelers either. True. But he hasn't done as many negative things or lack of thereof of any sort of production that Snell and Ballage have done. But I think with that, Mark, that wraps up this week's Steelers Touch Down Under. And I'm Matt Peverell, joined by Marky D, Marky Davison. The show goes super quick as always. Mark, close this out.
Go, Steelers.
Oh, how it rips me, but love makes me live for tomorrow. Today, love rips me apart. Oh, how it rips me, but love makes me live for tomorrow. Today, love rips me as far. Oh, how it rips me, but love makes me live for tomorrow.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.